When a terrible persecution broke out all across the empire in the year 250 or so, the man who was the teacher in the catechetical school of Alexandria was brought before the governor of the region, and he was investigated as to whether he was loyal to the emperor. The following account was written by him to recall for his readers what had happened to him and his companions in that critical time. Dionysius wrote this: "I am really in danger of falling into much foolishness, and I lack the right feeling, though being compelled of necessity, to narrate God's wondrous consideration concerning us. But since it is good, it says, to keep close the secret of a king, but glorious to reveal the works of God, later I will recount our facing of our violent accuser Germanus. I did not come before Aemilian alone, for my fellow presbyter Maximus and deacons Faustus, Eusebius, and Caramon were with me, and one of the brethren who was present from Rome came in with us. Now Aemilian did not say to me at the start, 'Do not summon the brethren for public worship,' for that was superfluous and the last thing to insist on, since he was going back to the very beginning of the matter. For the question was not about summoning others, but about being Christians ourselves. And it was from this that he ordered us to desist, thinking that if I should change my mind, the others would follow me. And I answered kindly and not very differently from the words, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.' I testified outright that I worship the only God and none other, nor will I ever alter nor desist from being a Christian. Upon this, he ordered us to go away to a village on the borders of the desert named Sepho. Listen to what was said on both sides as it was officially recorded: Dionysius, Faustus, Maximus, Marcellus, and Caramon being brought in, Aemilian the prefect said, 'In the course of conversation, I described to you the kindness which our sovereigns have displayed towards you, for they gave you opportunity of being set free if you would adopt a natural line of conduct and worship the gods who protect the empire and give up those who are contrary to nature. What do you say to this? For I do expect you will be grateful for their leniency when they invite you to a better course.' Dionysius answered, 'It is not a fact that all men worship gods, for each worships certain whom he believes in. So with us, we worship and adore the one God, the creator of all things, who has entrusted the empire also to the most religious emperors, Valerian and Gallienus. And to this one God we pray without ceasing for the good of their empire.' Aemilian the prefect said, 'But who prevents you from worshiping your God also, if he be God, with the natural gods? For you were ordered to worship gods which are familiar to all.' Dionysius answered, 'We worship none other but the one God.' Aemilian the prefect said to them, 'I observe that all of you are both ungrateful for and oblivious to the leniency of our emperors. Therefore, you shall not live in this city, but shall be dismissed to the parts of Libya and stay in a place called Sepho, which I have chosen at the bidding of our emperors. And both you and others will be absolutely forbidden either to hold meetings or to enter the so-called cemeteries. And if any one of you were to appear to have failed to arrive at the place I have ordered, or found at any assembly in this city, he will do so at his own risk, for the necessary penalty will be sternly enforced. Be off, therefore, to where you were ordered.' So he hurried me away, even though I was sick, granting me not a day's respite. What leisure then had I to call assemblies or not?" And further on, Dionysius says, "But we did not give up from the visible assembling of ourselves together in the Lord's presence, but I even more earnestly urged those who were in the city Alexandria to assemble, as if I were still with them, being absent in the body, as it says, but present in the spirit. And at Sepho also, a large number of the church were staying with us, consisting of the brethren who had followed us from the city or who were present from other parts of Egypt. There too the Lord opened before us a door for the word. And at first we were pursued and stoned, but later many of the Gentiles left their idols and turned to God. Thus, we were the first to sow the word in the hearts of those who had not previously received it. And it seemed as though God led us to them for just that reason. And having sown the word among them, God led us away again. For Emelian wished, as it seemed, to transfer us to rougher and more difficult areas, and he ordered those who were scattered in every direction to draw together to the lake Mareotis, assigning to each party one of the villages of the district. But he put us on a longer road so that we should be the first to be arrested. For he evidently managed and arranged so that it would be easy to capture us whenever he wished to seize us. And as for me, when I was ordered to depart Sepphro, I did not even know in what direction the place lay, hardly having heard so much as the name before. And yet I went off willingly and without trouble. But when it was told me that they would remove me to the parts of Colophion, all who were present know how I was affected. For here I will accuse myself. At first I was vexed and took it very ill. For though the place happened to be better known and more familiar to us, yet people said there were no Christians there and no respectable folk, because living there one is exposed to the annoying antics of drifters and the attacks of robbers. But I found consolation when the brethren reminded me that it is nearer to the city of Alexandria, and that while Sepphro gave much opportunity of communication with brethren from Egypt in general, so that one could draw congregations from a wider area, yet at Colophion we should more consistently enjoy the sight of those who were really loved and most intimate and dear. For they would be able to come and stay the night, and there would be district meetings, as is the case with outlying suburbs. And so it turned out. Meanwhile, there was a bishop in the area of Alexandria named Germanus, who made things difficult for Dionysius by claiming that he, Germanus, had proven much braver than Dionysius. He had not left his pulpit. His bravery had proven that he was a greater teacher than Dionysius, and so on. Dionysius writes this about what happened to him. Many indeed are the confessions of faith over which Germanus prides himself. Many are the things which he has to mention as having happened to him. Can he reckon up as many in his own case as I can in mine? Condemnations, confiscations, sales by public auction, spoiling of one's possessions, loss of dignities, despisings of worldly honor, contempt of commendations by prefects and councils and of opponents' threats, endurance of clamorings and dangers and persecutions and wanderings and tribulations and much afflictions, such as are the things which have happened unto me under Decius and Sabinius, and up to the present time under Emelian. But where did Germanus appear? What talk was there of him? However, I withdraw from the much foolishness into which I am falling through Germanus, wherefore I refrain from giving a detailed account of events to the brethren who know all. So, we have heard from Dionysius about his life of tribulation. It was very difficult under the persecutions of the emperors. May we all in our lives be as humble and as fearless in the face of danger as he was.